Welcome to the Cutting Edge Science Podcast, where we dive deep into the latest research breakthroughs. I'm Tom, your host.
And I'm Jen, excited to be here with you today. In this episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that models how shocks propagate through financial networks over time and how resilient these systems are in the face of disruption.
The title of the paper is Modeling Shock Propagation and Resilience in Financial Temporal Networks, and it's authored by Fabrizio Lillo and Giorgio Rizzini.
This is a really timely and important topic, especially given the financial crises we've seen in recent years, like the 2008 subprime mortgage crisis and the COVID-19 pandemic. Understanding how shocks spread through interconnected financial systems and how quickly they can recover is crucial for minimizing economic damage.
Exactly. The researchers tackle this challenge by extending the well-known fitness model for static networks into a dynamic, temporal framework. This allows them to model how the propensity of individual nodes, or financial entities, to create connections evolves over time.
That's a really clever approach. Rather than just looking at the links themselves, they're focusing on the underlying drivers of those connections. Can you tell us a bit more about how the fitness model works and how the authors extend it to a temporal setting?
Sure, let me dive into that. In the fitness model, each node, or financial entity, is assigned a latent fitness parameter that represents its propensity to create connections. The probability of a link forming between two nodes is then determined by the fitnesses of the two nodes.
Okay, that makes sense. So, in the context of a financial network, the fitness of a node could correspond to something like a bank's lending capacity or creditworthiness, which would influence how likely it is to lend to or borrow from other banks.
Exactly, you've got it. And in the temporal extension, the authors model the fitnesses as evolving over time according to a vector autoregressive, VAR, process. This allows them to capture the dynamic, lagged relationships between the fitnesses of different nodes.
That's a really powerful framework. It lets them model not just the instantaneous network structure, but also how the underlying drivers of that structure change and interact over time. I can see how that would be crucial for understanding shock propagation.
Absolutely. With this model in place, the authors are then able to define a novel impulse response function for network metrics, like density or clustering. This allows them to trace out how a shock to the fitness of a single node, or a group of nodes, ripples through the network over time.
That's fascinating. So they're not just looking at how the network itself changes, but how key network properties evolve in response to a shock. Can you walk us through an example of how this might play out?
Sure. Let's consider a concrete example. Imagine there's a financial shock that hits a major bank, causing a sudden drop in its lending capacity or fitness. The author's model would allow us to trace out how this initial shock propagates through the interbank lending network over time.
Okay, I'm picturing it. The shock to that central bank's fitness would immediately impact its lending relationships, causing ripple effects as its borrowers struggle to find alternative funding sources. And then those secondary impacts would cascade through the network.
Exactly. And one of the key insights is that the authors show this impulse response function is a nonlinear function of the shock size. So doubling the initial shock doesn't just double the network impact. The dynamics can be much more complicated.
That makes a lot of sense. The interconnections in the network create all these feedback loops and n-onlinearities that a simple linear model wouldn't capture. Being able to model that complexity is so important for understanding systemic risk.
Absolutely. And the authors don't just stop at modeling the shock propagation. They also analyze the resilience of the network and how quickly it recovers back to its equilibrium state. This gives policymakers and regulators crucial insights into the system's vulnerabilities and ability to absorb shocks.
That's a really valuable perspective. Too often, analyses focus just on the initial impact of a crisis, without considering the longer-term dynamics and ability of the system to bounce back. Having that full picture is essential.
Exactly. And the authors don't just develop this theoretical framework, they also provide a detailed empirical application, estimating the model on real data from the Italian interbank market. This allows them to unpack the specific drivers of shock transmission and resilience in that context.
That's fantastic. Grounding the theoretical work in real-world data must give the results so much more practical relevance. I'm curious to hear more about what the authors found in that empirical analysis.
Well, one of the key insights is the heterogeneity they found in the estimated lagged interactions between banks' fitnesses. The authors interpret this as reflecting the diverse lending and borrowing behaviors in the interbank market during that period.
Interesting. So it's not just a simple, homogeneous propagation of shocks, but a complex, node-specific dynamic playing out. That level of detail is really important for understanding true systemic risk.
Absolutely. And the authors also find that the timing of when a shock hits can have a big impact on its ultimate effect. Shocks that occur at different points in the network cycle can lead to very different patterns of propagation and resilience.
That makes a lot of sense. The initial conditions of the network at the time of the shock seem to be a crucial determinant of how it plays out. It's not just about the shock itself, but the state of the system that it's disrupting.
Exactly. This paper really represents a major advance in our ability to model and understand shock transmission in financial networks. By focusing on the underlying drivers of connectivity, rather than just the links themselves, the authors have developed a much richer and more nuanced framework.
I completely agree. This is the kind of work that can have a huge impact on how we think about financial stability and systemic risk. It gives policymakers and regulators a powerful new tool for assessing vulnerabilities and designing more resilient systems.
Absolutely. And I think the broader implications go beyond just the financial domain. This methodological approach could be applied to model shock propagation and resilience in all sorts of interconnected systems, whether it's infrastructure networks, supply chains, or even social networks.
That's a great point. The principles here are really quite general. Anytime you have a complex, dynamic network with heterogeneous nodes, this kind of fitness-based modeling could provide valuable insights. It's a flexible framework that can unlock a lot of important questions.
Definitely. This is the kind of cutting-edge, interdisciplinary research that I find so exciting. It takes ideas and techniques from network science, time series analysis, and economics, and weaves them together to tackle a crucial real-world challenge.
I couldn't agree more. Lillo and Rossini have made a really impressive contribution here. They've not only advanced the theoretical state of the art, but also demonstrated the practical relevance and potential impact of their work. It's the kind of research that just gets me energized about the power of science.
Absolutely. This is exactly the type of work we love to feature on this podcast. Groundbreaking, yet accessible. Theoretically sophisticated, yet grounded in real-world problems. I'm really grateful the authors have shared this work with us, and I'm sure our listeners are going to find it just as fascinating as we do.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. This has been a wonderful discussion, and I think we've given our audience a great overview of the key insights and implications of this really compelling paper. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm sure our listeners are as excited as we are to see what other cutting-edge research the Lillo and Rossini team has in store.
Absolutely. Jen, thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Cutting Edge Science Podcast. Upbeat music plays.
Are you tired of your financial network being shocked and disrupted?
Well then, have we got the solution for you? Introducing Shockproof Financial Solutions.
That's right, folks. Using the latest research in financial network modeling, our experts can design a tailor-made, shock-resistant portfolio to keep your assets safe from even the craziest market turbulence.
Whether it's a global pandemic, a sudden banking crisis, or a swarm of rampaging beavers, don't ask, Shockproof Financial Solutions has got you covered.
Our patented fitness algorithm analyzes the hidden drivers of your financial connections, allowing us to predict and prevent shocks before they even happen.
So don't wait for the next economic disaster to blindside you. Call 1-800-SHOCKPROOF today and let us make your portfolio Lillo and Rossini approved.
Shockproof Financial Solutions. Keeping your money safe, no matter how crazy the world gets. Upbeat music intensifies, then fades out.
Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into cutting-edge research to uncover the latest breakthroughs and their real-world implications. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is Jen.
Hi everyone. Today, We're excited to discuss a fascinating paper that explores a crucial question at the intersection of machine learning and finance. The paper is titled Attribution Methods in Asset Pricing. Do they account for risk? And it was written by Dongxing Chen and Yuan Gao.
This paper tackles a really important issue. As machine learning models continue to transform the financial industry, ensuring that these models accurately capture and reflect the underlying risks has become paramount. The authors set out to examine whether popular attribution methods, like Shapley value and integrated gradients, can adequately account for the risks implicit in asset pricing models.
Absolutely. In the finance world, risk management is absolutely critical. We've seen how devastating the consequences can be when risks are mismanaged, like the recent collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. The authors recognize that when applying machine learning to high-stakes domains like finance, the explanations provided by these models must align with the domain knowledge and key risk factors.
That's a great point. The paper begins by noting that while machine learning has driven huge gains in accuracy, it often comes at the expense of transparency and explainability. And in industries where the stakes are so high, like finance, being able to clearly explain and justify model decisions is absolutely essential.
Right. The researchers argue that existing explainable AI tools have focused mainly on general problems, without incorporating the domain expertise that's so crucial in finance. They set out to remedy that by proposing a set of axioms derived from the asset pricing domain knowledge, things like mathematical derivatives, sensitivity to interest rates, and convexity effects.
The key idea is that when applying attribution methods to financial models, the explanations need to accurately capture the underlying risks. So the authors examine how well Shapley value and integrated gradients, two popular attribution techniques, are able to satisfy these domain-specific axioms.
They start by looking at axioms related to first-order effects, like individual monotonicity. The intuition here is that if a feature has a monotonic relationship with the output, then the attribution for that feature should move in the same direction. This helps ensure the explanations align with the basic risk sensitivities.
Exactly. And they also introduce axioms around second-order effects, like diminishing marginal effects and increasing marginal effects. These capture more nuanced risk patterns, like the convexity properties that finance experts often focus on.
Interesting. So they're really trying to codify the domain knowledge into a set of desirable properties that the attribution methods should satisfy. This ensures the explanations provided are meaningful and actionable for finance practitioners.
Absolutely. And the analysis the authors do is quite thorough. They prove that Shapley value is able to preserve most of these axioms, while integrated gradients fall short on a few key ones, like demand individual monotonicity.
That's a really important finding. The demand individual monotonicity axiom captures the idea that as a monotonic feature increases, its attribution should increase as well. The fact that integrated gradients can't always satisfy this suggests there may be situations where it fails to properly reflect the underlying risks.
Yeah, the authors illustrate this with a great example involving long-term bonds. When interest rates are extremely high, integrated gradients may not accurately capture how rapidly the bond price decreases. Shapley value, on the other hand, is shown to preserve this important risk pattern.
That's a really insightful example. It highlights how critical it is to ensure the attribution methods align with the domain knowledge. In high-stakes industries like finance, you can't afford to have explanations that miss or misrepresent the key risk factors.
Exactly. The paper also explores an axiom related to the geometry of the training domain. They argue that attribution methods should avoid venturing too far outside the regions where the model was actually trained, as that can lead to unreliable or even nonsensical explanations.
That's a really important point. Financial data, especially around things like stock prices and volatility, can have highly nonlinear and correlated relationships. So extrapolating the model's behavior to regions it wasn't exposed to during training could produce explanations that are completely divorced from reality.
Absolutely. And the authors show how Shapley value can struggle with this, as it may require evaluating the model in areas outside the training domain. Integrated gradients, on the other hand, is able to preserve this convex geometry axiom, which is a real strength.
It's fascinating to see how these two popular attribution methods have different strengths and weaknesses when it comes to capturing the nuances of risk in financial models. The authors have done a great job of systematically analyzing them through the lens of domain-specific axioms.
Definitely. And they back up the theoretical analysis with some really insightful empirical examples, looking at option pricing models during the 2008 financial crisis. These examples vividly illustrate how the attribution methods can either preserve or violate important risk patterns, like the relationship between stock price and option delta.
That's a great point. Being able to see these risk patterns play out in real-world data is so valuable. It really drives home the importance of using attribution methods that can faithfully reflect the domain knowledge. The authors show how Shapley value and integrated gradients can both capture certain risk sensitivities, but also highlight the situations where one method may be preferable over the other.
Absolutely. This paper tackles a really critical issue at the intersection of machine learning and finance. As these powerful modeling techniques continue to transform the industry, we have to ensure the explanations they provide are grounded in the underlying realities of risk management. The authors have done a fantastic job of outlining a rigorous framework for evaluating attribution methods through this lens.
I couldn't agree more. This is such an important contribution that has important implications far beyond just finance. Anytime we're applying machine learning in high-stakes domains, we need to be incredibly thoughtful about how we interpret and explain the model's behavior. This paper provides a really valuable template for doing that in a principled, domain-aware way.
Definitely. I think this is a great example of how bringing together domain expertise and state-of-the-art machine learning can lead to truly impactful research. By carefully considering the unique characteristics and needs of the finance industry, the authors have developed a framework that can help ensure ML models are trustworthy and actionable in the real world.
Absolutely. This is the kind of work that I find so exciting and inspiring. It shows the immense potential of interdisciplinary collaboration to tackle complex, high-stakes problems. I'm really grateful the authors took the time to rigorously explore this important issue, and I'm sure their findings will have a lasting impact on how we apply machine learning in finance and beyond.
Me too. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I'm sure our listeners have gained a deep appreciation for the nuances involved in making machine learning models truly explainable and accountable in the finance domain. Thanks so much for joining me today, Jen. I'm sure our audience is as eager as we are to see what other groundbreaking research this team will uncover next.
Absolutely, Tom. This has been a pleasure. I'm sure our listeners are walking away with a much richer understanding of the challenges and best practices around using attribution methods in high-risk industries. We'll be sure to keep an eye out for more innovative work from Dongxing Chen, Yuan Gao, and their colleagues. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring the cutting edge. Jingle plays.
Are you tired of your asset pricing models leaving you in the dark about risk?
Introducing RiskSeer, the leading provider of AI-powered risk attribution for your financial models.
RiskSeer uses cutting-edge techniques like Shapley value and integrated gradients to shine a light on the key risk drivers in your portfolio.
Our patented risk radar will detect any pesky convexity effects or non-monotonic relationships that your current tools are missing.
With RiskSeer, you'll never be blindsided by hidden risks again. Identify threats before they sink your bottom line.
RiskSeer, seeing the unseen risks in your investments.
RiskSeer. The risk management solution you never knew you needed. Jingle intensifies Tom and Jen. RiskSeer. The future of responsible finance is here.
Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we dive deep into cutting-edge research. I'm Tom, and joining me today is my co-host, Jen.
Hello, everyone. Today, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that delves into the world of portfolio optimization. The title of the research we'll be discussing is Covariance Matrix Analysis for Optimal Portfolio Selection.
This paper, written by Lim Hao Shen Keith from the National University of Singapore, examines a critical problem in portfolio risk minimization, the estimation of the inverse covariance matrix of asset returns.
As you may know, The inverse covariance matrix, also known as the precision matrix, plays a crucial role in determining the optimal hedge trades for a portfolio. However, in practice, this matrix is often unknown and must be estimated from finite samples of data.
The challenge is that when dealing with high-dimensional portfolios, multicollinearity can lead to considerable estimation errors, making the hedge trades too unstable and unreliable for practical use. This is where the researchers in this paper come in with an innovative solution.
The authors propose two new estimators of the inverse covariance matrix, one based on the L2 norm and the other utilizing both the L1 and L2 norms. These estimators are classified as shrinkage estimators, which aim to provide more stable and reliable results compared to traditional methods.
The key idea behind these shrinkage estimators is to introduce a certain amount of bias in order to reduce the overall variance of the estimates. This is particularly useful in high-dimensional settings, where the sample covariance matrix can be ill-conditioned or even singular.
To evaluate the performance of their proposed estimators, the researchers conducted an extensive out-of-sample analysis. They compared the risk and return characteristics of portfolios constructed using their methods against several benchmark approaches, including the sample covariance matrix, equal weighting, Ledwa-Wolf estimation, and principal component analysis.
The results are quite impressive. The portfolios formed using the researchers' ridge and elastic net estimators achieved substantial out-of-sample risk reduction and improved the risk-adjusted returns, particularly in high-dimensional settings. This is a significant finding, as it demonstrates the practical value of these new estimation techniques.
What I find most intriguing about this research is the way the authors have blended cutting-edge statistical methods with real-world financial applications. By leveraging tools from data science and numerical linear algebra, they've developed innovative solutions to a long-standing problem in portfolio optimization.
Absolutely. The researchers have not only contributed to the academic literature but also provided valuable insights for industry practitioners. Their work showcases the power of interdisciplinary collaboration, where expertise from different fields can be combined to tackle complex challenges.
One of the key takeaways from this paper is the importance of careful covariance matrix estimation in portfolio construction. The authors have convincingly demonstrated that using more sophisticated techniques, such as their proposed shrinkage estimators, can lead to substantial improvements in out-of-sample performance compared to traditional approaches.
Exactly. This research opens up exciting avenues for further exploration. For instance, it would be interesting to see how these methods perform in different market conditions or asset classes, or how they might be integrated into more comprehensive portfolio management strategies.
Definitely. The findings of this paper also raise interesting questions about the underlying structure and dynamics of financial markets. By improving our understanding of the covariance relationships between assets, we may gain deeper insights into the mechanisms driving market behavior and risk.
In conclusion, this paper on covariance matrix analysis for optimal portfolio selection represents an important contribution to the field of quantitative finance. The researchers have developed novel techniques that can significantly enhance the risk-return profile of investment portfolios, particularly in high-dimensional settings. Their work serves as a shining example of how rigorous, interdisciplinary research can lead to practical solutions with real-world impact.
Well said, Tom. This episode has been a fascinating journey into the world of portfolio optimization and covariance matrix estimation. It's a great reminder of the power of combining cutting-edge data science with deep financial expertise to tackle complex challenges. I'm sure our listeners have gained valuable insights that they can apply in their own investment strategies. Thank you all for joining us today, and we look forward to exploring more captivating research in our future episodes.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of science and finance with us.
Are you feeling anxious about your investment portfolio? Worried that your covariance matrix isn't optimized for maximum returns? Well, have we got the solution for you?
Introducing CovaCool, the revolutionary investment platform that uses cutting-edge covariance matrix analysis to take the guesswork out of portfolio selection.
With CovaCool, you'll never have to worry about ill-conditioned matrices or multicollinearity again. Our patented shrinkage estimators will have your inverse covariance matrix in tip-top shape, ready to minimize your risk and maximize your profits.
Say goodbye to those outdated mean variance optimization techniques and hello to the future of portfolio management. CovaCool, where your investments are as cool as a cucumber and as stable as a mountain.
Sign up for CovaCool today and receive a free tin foil hat to block out all those pesky market fluctuations. Because when it comes to your money, you can never be too cautious.
CovaCool, the investment solution that's just a little bit out there. Visit cova-cool.com to start optimizing your portfolio today. Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into the most fascinating research papers and uncover their captivating stories. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host, Jen.
Hi everyone. Today, we're excited to discuss a paper that offers a new approach to solving a long-standing challenge in economics and finance, the principal agent problem with volatility control.
The title of the paper is A New Approach to Principal Agent Problems with Volatility Control, and it's authored by Alessandro Ciasolo and Emma Hubert from Princeton University.
Principal agent problems are all about the challenge of aligning the incentives between a principal, like a company or an investor, and an agent, like an employee or a money manager, when there's an information asymmetry. Specifically, the agent has better information or control over certain factors that impact the outcome.
In this case, the key factor is the volatility of the output process. The agent can influence not just the drift, but also the volatility of the results. This adds a whole new level of complexity to the problem, as the principal needs to design a contract that incentivizes the agent to take the optimal actions.
Traditionally, researchers have tackled this problem using advanced mathematical tools like second-order backward stochastic differential equations, or 2BSDS. But the authors of this paper propose a completely different approach that avoids relying on that heavy machinery.
The core idea is that since the principal can observe the output process in continuous time, they can actually deduce its quadratic variation, or volatility, just by watching the path of the process. So the principal could, in a sense, force the agent to choose the optimal volatility, rather than just relying on incentives.
Exactly. The authors introduce an alternative first-best formulation of the problem, where the principal directly controls the quadratic variation of the output process. This allows them to use the well-established theory of standard backward stochastic differential equations, or BSDEs, instead of the more complex 2BSDS.
By solving this first-best problem, the authors show that the solution is actually identical to the solution of the original problem studied in the prior literature. This is a really elegant result, as it means the principal can achieve the best possible outcome for themselves, even if they can't directly control the volatility.
The key is that the contract form introduced in the earlier work, which uses both the output process and its quadratic variation, allows the principal to effectively enforce the optimal volatility on the agent. So the principal doesn't need the ability to directly control the volatility. The contract design does the work for them.
What I find most impressive about this new approach is how it simplifies the analysis and opens the door for further extensions and applications of principal agent problems with volatility control. By avoiding the need for 2BSDEs, the authors have made these complex problems much more accessible.
Absolutely. As the authors point out, the traditional 2BSDE-based approach has limited the dissemination of these problems across different fields, from finance to economics to operations research. But this new BSDE-based method could really facilitate the adoption and extension of this important line of research.
One application they mention that I found particularly intriguing is the case of principal agent problems with many agents, or even a continuum of agents. The 2BSDE framework has struggled with these more complex setups, but the BSDE-based approach might provide a more straightforward path forward.
Definitely. And beyond just multi-agent problems, the authors suggest this new method could also simplify the extension of principal agent models to handle non-continuous output processes, which are common in the real world. The flexibility and generalizability of this approach is a real strength.
You know, as we were discussing the paper, I couldn't help but think about how these principal agent problems relate to so many real-world scenarios, from executives and shareholders, to fund managers and investors, to governments and citizens. The ability to better align incentives in these relationships could have profound societal impacts.
That's a great point, Tom. Improving our understanding of principal-agent problems is crucial for designing more effective policies, regulations, and contracts across a wide range of domains. This research represents an important step forward in that direction.
Absolutely. And I love how the authors have taken a complex mathematical problem and made it more accessible, without sacrificing the rigor of the analysis. Their alternative approach is not only elegant from a technical standpoint, but also has the potential to drive real-world change.
I couldn't agree more. This paper is a great example of how innovative thinking and a creative problem-solving mindset can lead to breakthroughs that expand the boundaries of what's possible. I'm really excited to see how this work influences the future of principal-agent research and its applications.
Me too, Jen. This has been a fascinating discussion, and I'm sure our listeners have gained a deep appreciation for the insights and implications of this paper. Thanks for joining me today. I can't wait to see what other cutting-edge discoveries we uncover in future episodes.
Likewise, Tom. This was a pleasure. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of research with us.
Are you tired of the same old principal-agent problems? Struggling to align incentives and control volatility?
Well, have we got the solution for you? Introducing Quantum Contracts, the future of principal-agent relationships.
Using the groundbreaking research from the paper we just discussed, quantum contracts can teleport your principal-agent problems into a whole new dimension.
With our patented volatility vortex technology, we can instantly detect and manipulate the quadratic variation of any output process. No more 2BSDS, just pure principal-agent bliss.
And the best part? Our quantum entanglement negotiators can establish unbreakable contractual bonds between principals and agents, ensuring optimal outcomes in the blink of an eye.
Stop wasting time with outdated incentive schemes. Quantum Contracts, where the future of finance and economics is now.
Available for a limited time only, so call 1-800-QUIT-AGENCY to schedule your free quantum consultation today.
Quantum Contracts, aligning incentives at the speed of light.
Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into cutting-edge research and make the latest scientific discoveries come alive. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jen.
Hello everyone. Today, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper titled A Note on Skew Brownian Motion with Two-Valued Drift and an Application. This research, conducted by Zaniar Ahmadi and Xiaowen Zhou from the Mathematics and Statistics Department at Concordia University, sheds new light on a powerful mathematical tool with diverse real-world applications.
Skew Brownian Motion, or SBM for short, is a generalization of the classic Brownian motion model. While Brownian motion assumes a constant drift, SBM allows for a drift that can change abruptly at a specific point, known as the skew level. This flexibility makes SBM a valuable tool for modeling a wide range of phenomena, from finance and interest rate modeling to diffusion problems in heterogeneous media.
In this paper, the researchers take a closer look at SBM with a two-valued drift, meaning the drift can switch between two different values depending on whether the process is above or below the skew level. This scenario is particularly intriguing, as it captures more complex real-world dynamics than the single drift case.
To tackle this problem, the authors employ a clever perturbation approach. They start by finding expressions for the potential densities of the SBM with two-valued drift, which serve as the building blocks for their analysis. This allows them to then derive the transition density of the process, a crucial quantity for understanding its behavior over time.
One of the key insights from this research is that the transition density of the SBM with two-valued drift can be expressed as a convolution of two functions related to Brownian motion with constant drift. This elegant representation not only provides a deeper theoretical understanding but also opens the door to efficient numerical approximations.
The researchers then delve into the long-time asymptotic behavior of the SBM with two-valued drift. They show that, under certain conditions on the drift parameters, the transition probability converges to a smooth density that is independent of the starting point. This has important implications for the long-term behavior of the process, such as the existence of a stationary distribution.
But the researchers don't stop there. They also propose two novel approaches for generating quasi-random samples of the SBM, which is crucial for practical applications. The first method involves approximating the cumulative distribution function, CDF, using a mixture of truncated normal distributions, while the second leverages the power of deep neural networks to learn the inverse CDF.
These sampling techniques are particularly valuable for risk measurement applications, where SBM plays a crucial role. The authors demonstrate how their approximations can be used to estimate conventional risk metrics like value at risk, VAR, and conditional value at risk, CVAR.
What I find most impressive about this paper is the researchers' ability to tackle a complex mathematical problem with both rigor and creativity. They've not only expanded our theoretical understanding of SBM with two-valued drift, but they've also developed practical tools that can directly impact real-world applications.
I agree, Jen. This paper is a prime example of how cutting-edge research can seamlessly bridge the gap between theory and practice. By combining deep analytical insights with innovative numerical techniques, the authors have made significant contributions to the field of stochastic processes and its myriad applications.
Absolutely. One of the things that really stands out to me is the researchers' attention to detail and their willingness to explore multiple facets of the problem. They don't just stop at deriving the transition density. They also delve into the long-term behavior of the process and develop practical sampling methods. This level of thoroughness is truly admirable.
You're right, Jen. This paper really showcases the researchers' mastery of both the theoretical and applied aspects of the problem. By seamlessly weaving together these different components, they've created a comprehensive and impactful piece of work.
Definitely. And I think the broader implications of this research are really quite fascinating. Skew Brownian motion has such a wide range of applications, from finance to materials science, that the findings in this paper could have ramifications far beyond the specific problem they're studying.
Absolutely. The versatility of SBM means that these new insights into the two-valued drift case could unlock new possibilities in a variety of domains. I'm particularly intrigued by the potential impact on financial modeling and risk management, where SBM has already proven to be a valuable tool.
Me too, Tom. The researchers' work on approximating the CDF and generating quasi-random samples could significantly improve the accuracy and efficiency of simulations and risk calculations in the financial industry. It's really exciting to think about how this research could translate into real-world applications that have a tangible impact.
Definitely. This paper is a masterclass in taking a deep dive into the theoretical foundations of a problem while also keeping a keen eye on the practical implications. The researchers have managed to strike the perfect balance, and I have no doubt that their work will inspire further advancements in this field.
Absolutely. As we wrap up this episode, I'm left with a deep appreciation for the creativity, rigor, and dedication that went into this research. Zaniar Ahmadi and Xiaowen Zhou have made a significant contribution to our understanding of skew Brownian motion, and I'm excited to see how their findings will shape the future of this important area of study.
Well said, Jen. This paper is a testament to the power of interdisciplinary collaboration and the pursuit of knowledge. By combining their expertise in mathematics, statistics, and applications, the authors have pushed the boundaries of what's possible with skew Brownian motion. It's a truly inspiring piece of work, and I'm honored to have the opportunity to discuss it with our listeners today.
Thank you all for joining us on this fascinating journey through the world of skew Brownian motion. We hope that this episode has not only informed and entertained you but also sparked your curiosity to explore the ever-evolving frontiers of scientific research. Until next time, keep wondering, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Absolutely. This is Tom and Jen, signing off. Tune in next time for another deep dive into cutting-edge discoveries that are shaping our understanding of the world around us.
Are you tired of the same old investment strategies that leave your portfolio high and dry? Well, have we got the solution for you?
Introducing SkewBiz, the cutting-edge financial services company that harnesses the power of skew Brownian motion to maximize your returns.
That's right, folks. With our revolutionary algorithms, we can predict market movements with pinpoint accuracy, making your investments skyrocket like a submarine in a hurricane.
Forget about boring old stocks and bonds. At SKUBIZ, we deal in the exotic and the extraordinary. Negative interest rates? Currency fluctuations? No problem. Our traders thrive on chaos and uncertainty.
And the best part? Our services are completely free. That's because we make all our money by betting against our own clients. It's a win-win for everyone.
So what are you waiting for? Join the SKUBIZ revolution and watch your wealth soar to new underwater heights. Call 1-800-SKU-CASH to get started today.
SKUBIZ, where the only thing that's predictable is our unpredictability.